Taking control of and improving your health requires the most relevant and timely health information available. And University Medical Center is here to help with facts and advice about important health topics that you care about. We know that your health matters. I'm Dr. Richard Friend, and today we interview Dr. Raheem Paxton, Associate Professor of Community Medicine and Population Health, about changing your fitness routine as you age. Let's listen as Dr. Paxton offers some guidance. Welcome to Health Matters with your host, Mike Royer.
Welcome back into Health Matters. My name is Mike Royer. This is Dr. Raheem Paxton. Dr. Paxton is an Associate Professor of Community Medicine and Population Health at the University of Alabama College of Community Health Sciences here in Tuscaloosa. Dr. Paxton, thanks for joining us again. We're glad to see you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Last time we talked to you, you talked generally about exercise. You gave us some really good advice, encouraging people to get healthier by moving around a bit. Today, we want to talk to you specifically about first age groups, from a teenager who maybe is already active in sports in their high school into the 20s and 30s and 40s and to my age group in the 60s and then beyond me into the 70s. How do you want people to think safely and logically about exercise in different stages of their life?
Well, I think earlier on, as a former athlete, a lot of men and women, I think they tend to focus more on both strength training activities and as well as our cardiovascular fitness. But as we get older, we tend to move away from the strength training and focus more on balance and coordination as well as the cardiovascular fitness. And I think those are the differences that we can think about in terms of guidelines that we can help to create for people as they age.
Is your experience in studies tell you that our bodies can send us messages, tell us if we're overdoing it? Do we have ways of being informed that you might be going too hard, too fast?
Yes, I think we start to, in some cases, we start to develop shin splints and knee pain that could potentially be, warning signs that we need to slow down. However, if we're lifting weights, the older we get, we may be more prone to muscle strains and sprains.
And asking some professional help on that would be wise, too. You can overdo it without knowing you're going to overdo it. Are people like you available online or through the university, or are some gym people qualified to monitor you if you're doing weight training?
Well, I think it's really important to really focus on people who are adequately trained to provide that advice. Mm-hmm. In most cases, folks at the gym may have different certifications, they may not have the knowledge or know-how to prevent some injuries in some cases.
I guess starting with your general practitioner saying, I'm thinking about starting an exercise program, he might give you some physical advice and he might recommend talking to someone like you that could say, okay, you're 38, you're 48, you're 69, whatever you are, here's some things for you to think about. That would be some really good research to do before starting something really intensive.
Most definitely. And better yet, talking to a physical therapist. Mm. Because they would have, different strategies and techniques that you can do to build muscle in the areas and some of the problematic areas, such as the lower back and knees or even ankles that, we tend to acquire a lot of these injuries.
It'd be unfortunate for someone who hasn't exercised much to all of a sudden really want to and right out of the gate hurt themselves by doing too much. That would really be emotionally defeating to them, wouldn't it?
Yes, as well as discouraging. And it may even cause somebody to never exercise again.
That's right. You pull a hamstring or worse yet, an Achilles, and then you go, well, I can't do that anymore. And that would be a real shame. So be smart about what you're doing. What advice do you give, different advice do you give to men versus women? Is there different advice and guidance for different sexes?
Well, for the most part, no. We do know that men and women are physiologically and physically different. So for example, the pelvic area of men and women differ, and like when women, they have hips that may bend in slightly further.
Yes.
Than men, which could create additional back pain.
Mm.
So I think one of the recommendations is to make sure that they're exercising appropriately, using appropriate form when they're doing different exercises.
I think it right after the end of the year, every year after the holidays, we do stories in the news about a big spike in gym membership. Everybody that ate too much from Thanksgiving through Christmas all of a sudden goes, well, I'm joining a gym. Those can be expensive, and there's nothing wrong with joining a gym. We're not telling people not to. But if money is an issue, you don't have to join a gym. There's plenty of ways to do things that cost nothing except maybe a good pair of running or walking shoes. Tell me your thoughts about that.
Well, of course. I think most of the things that you could do in a gym, you can also do at home. There's a lot of different devices you can buy, resistance training bands. Some people go as far as buying treadmills. And, mm-hmm. Recently with COVID, there's been a dramatic increase in the number of people who, have invested in Peloton and, purchased Peloton treadmills, yeah, and equipment, as well as Nordic Track and Proform and some of these other companies. However, we could do chair-based exercises. If we're older, we can get cans out of the cabinet and start, working our muscles.
Let's close with this. I guess I know the answer to this. Do you believe that if someone begins an exercise program and starts to add to it, thinking about dieting and good food, it can literally add years of healthy life to their life, live longer and healthier if they will do some of these things?
Well, I think the most important thing about diet, for weight loss, the key is caloric restriction. So, we eat less. In most cases, a number of dietary studies, they focus on reducing caloric intake by at least 500 calories a day. And a number of studies have indicated that that's associated with weight loss. However, you have to wonder whether it's sustainable. So an alternative approach to that is, increasing your fruit and vegetable consumption. So getting up in the morning, trying to consume, a few fruits and vegetables in the morning, a few at lunch, and a few at in the afternoon, and minimizing saturated fat, minimizing processed and red meats to improve your overall health and well-being.
I appreciate all the good information you've given us. Today I brought in 2 dozen donuts to the newsroom, and there are a few left. You want one?
No, thank you.
Off camera, you may go. Where are they?
That's a loaded question.
Dr. Raheem Paxton, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time and your expertise. We'll look forward to seeing you again sometime.
Thank you.
To learn more from us about these and other important health topics, visit umc.ua.edu. And for all your primary health care needs, visit University Medical Center with locations in Tuscaloosa, Northport, Demopolis, and Fayette.